Hello, 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 and welcome to this, the bonus episode of FYI on St. Patrick's Day and all things Irish. And we're here with my buddy Fitz. Fitz, I've been learning so much. I mean, the first episode was chock full of amazing fun facts, I must say.
Well, it's great fun to be on your show. And, you know, you're a New Yorker, as you said. You grew up knowing probably a lot of, you know, Irish guys.
Absolutely. O'Malley. You know, I mean, all my friends had an O in their name, basically.
One of my favorite American comedians, Bill Burr, who, again, of Irish background, he says, you know, the knuckleheads, as he called them.
Yeah.
Growing up with the Irish knuckleheads.
The knuckleheads. It's true. I mean, that's the thing. I don't remember. Maybe it was in a movie. You'll probably know better than I do, but they said the Irish and the Italian were killing each other. Normal people weren't. The extremes
of New York.
Yeah. And until they started having kids together. I don't know what movie that was from.
Well,
but
the classic family in cities like New York was Italian father, Irish mother, not the other way around.
Yeah,
that was the
classic. It's true.
Because, you know, they were Catholic, so they had plenty in common.
They had the same kind of morals, the same values, the same way of seeing life, family values.
Yeah, eating, drinking, you know.
Eating and drinking. Look at Scorsese movies. Where do all the big scenes take place? Around the table.
Yeah.
So the Irish are similar. They do a lot of, is table time with the family important?
Very important.
Yeah.
You know, I remember as a kid, this is something my parents would say, you know, sit at the table.
Right.
And we had to say, may I leave the table, please?
Oh, wow. Italian, Spanish home, same.
Yeah.
It wasn't take a walk whenever you're done.
No, you may not. You have to wait until everyone finishes.
Yeah.
And as a kid, I was like, oh. But now, I appreciate that.
Sure.
You know, good table manners. Manners maketh the man, as they say.
Absolutely. And you can tell who's got them right away.
Oh, yeah.
You can see it in a minute. Oh, yeah. You know, just the way somebody interacts with other people, the way they, you know, these little things that they do. And that's important. That's what, with my daughter. First, you know, when she was young, we were sitting at the coffee table. I said, no. My wife and I said, the dinner table is an important thing.
Yeah, vital.
She's eating better. She's sharing more.
Yeah.
So don't underestimate sitting around the table with your family and sharing a conversation and some good food. And speaking of, let's go segue into food. We already talked about that soda bread, which sounds delicious, that brown soda bread. I'm a bread lover, if you haven't noticed.
Yeah.
Butter or olive oil there?
Butter.
I imagined. I didn't want to assume anything.
Yeah. And potatoes, my friend, of course.
Oh, of course.
Spuds.
I remember my friend made a potatoes with like meat. It's like a meat pie with a layer of potatoes.
There'll be like shepherd's pie.
That's the one.
Which of course, you know, people would say, well, that's English. I think, no, I mean, because on St. Patrick's Day, actually, traditionally as kids, we ate roast lamb on St. Patrick's Day.
Mm.
And then the next day, my mother would make shepherd's pie with the leftovers of the lamb.
Makes sense.
Probably my favorite, if you said, what's your favorite dish? Shepherd's pie.
Shepherd's pie with gravy on it, I imagine.
I'm not much of a cook, but I did learn how to make it. And it's you mix up the key ingredient is probably Worcestershire sauce.
However you pronounce it.
Yeah, some carrots, some peas, good minced, if you can get it, good minced lamb.
Lamb.
And then mashed potatoes on top and you bake it in the oven. And it is just...
I can taste it now. Yeah. I remember, as we said, my friend Kian used to make this stuff. I also had Guinness pie, which was similar, but...
Guinness with beef stew.
Yes, right.
Seriously good stuff.
It was like a stew, miso with Guinness. Is anybody else's mouth watering right now?
Yeah, mine is right now, yeah.
And do you guys... I know you drink Guinness, and we're gonna get into Guinness, don't worry. Are you big wine drinkers like the Spanish at meals too?
It's becoming more common. But of course, the biggest issue is it's expensive because we have to import.
When
I was a kid, my parents on Christmas Day and maybe once or twice a year, the wine that was drunk then was Matthew's Rosé, a Portuguese Rosé.
Oh, okay.
And then in later years, you know, wine became accessible to ordinary people.
Sure.
And Irish people like to drink a lot of wine now.
Yeah. Well, I see that in the ones that come here. I just didn't know.
Oh, yeah.
Because I see that. They love their vino tinto. They know how to order their... what I always... The number one tip I give all Gidis, Irish ones, English ones, American ones, I say, don't ever order sangria.
Yeah.
Nobody orders that. I'm like, I don't know where you got that from. It's tinto de verano.
Tinto de verano.
And no de grifo.
And in the wintertime, you know, you go to a Spanish bar and you just get yourself a nice glass of, especially when the bottle is freshly opened.
Mm.
And it could be a €5 bottle, and it's top class.
Top, absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's good. I like that, too. I like that they're getting that wine culture. Mm. Well, the same way, think about since you've been here and me. I mean, you've been here a little bit longer, but how the beer culture has grown in Spain.
Oh, yeah.
You used to be able to get San Miguel. I mean, you got what there was, and now San Miguel themselves make like 5 different kinds of beer.
Yeah, you have craft beer. I really like straight up Spanish beer, like the Mau, the Estrella de Galicia, Alhambra. But you can now get, you know, our good friend Kyle Miller and his gang have some great bars with craft beers in Madrid.
Delicious.
The Tap Room and Royal Cafe and all these places where you can get really good Spanish-made craft beer.
Yeah, even a chocolate one I tried. There's a little bit of everything. And I'm sure they're going to be doing something tonight for St. Patrick's Day. Do you think so?
I may be going there to drink a few beers myself.
Maybe we'll head on over there after this recording. Yeah. It's Friday night. It's St. Patrick's Day. Question. And again, I'm trying to dispel all these myths in here. Americans say St. Paddy's Day. Can't Paddy also be a despective word or an ugly word?
Now, if you, as an American, you know, you say, hey, Fitz is a Paddy, I'm good with that because you're an American. Mm-hmm. If an Englishman
says, it's all context.
Hey, Paddy, it's like, ooh, it's going to be some trouble here.
Okay. Yeah. Because we use it not as a way to call an Irish person, but so much we would say St. Paddy's Day because it has Patrick. Day. So it would be a short for Patrick.
And it's so many, you know, so many Irish people are called Pat, Patsy, Patrick, Padraig, Pod, Poddy. Right.
A lot of biblical names too, I imagine, because of the Catholicism.
Yeah, especially like the apostolic ones. Andreas is Andrew.
I imagine.
After my grandfather. Mm-hmm. All his family, there were just Mix, Michael, and Dan. The most Irish names you can imagine.
And is Mick short for Michael? Like yes. Jack is short for John?
Yes. Yeah. And then Mick was another one that could... a little bit racist.
Sure.
You know, the mix.
Again, it's the tone too and where it's coming from. Yeah. Again, you know, my Irish friends would call me Spick and I would call them Mick.
There you go.
So it was like even. It wasn't racism because we were all just...
Fritz banter.
You know, it was fun and games. Yeah. We all actually loved each other. You know, anytime my friends were saying, hey... My mom's making, some nice Irish food this weekend. Okay, can I come on by for some of that?
Yeah.
What about desserts? So we talked a little bit about some of the food that's eaten, not just on St. Patrick's Day, but in general. Dessert, is there like a classic dessert that, like flan, you think of Spain and you think flan or arroz con leche. Is there one that would be the quintessential dessert?
Yeah. When I was a kid, I don't know, this was in my family especially. For dessert, you had a dessert that was vanilla ice cream, green jelly, which my father called green gauge for some reason, but lime jelly, green, and custard, natillas, the colors of the Irish flag.
Oh. Yeah. So you guys are into the symbolism, I see.
I mean, a lot of Irish people might say, no, we never had that. But I mean, I come from a very nationalist family.
Got you, right.
And, you know, it was something that this was our national day, and our father was always very, and my mother too. Mm. We'd find shamrock.
Oh, wow.
You'd put it on, a big sprig of shamrock, real stuff. And then 3 hours later, it died. And of course, I can't get that here, but on St. Patrick's Day, I always wear green.
Sure.
And I always try to get my friends, wherever they're from, you know, at work, I say, put on something green.
You always send a greeting too. You make sure to send a greeting. Because for you, as you said, well, it's the whole reason. If you don't do that, Fitz, maybe the holiday won't be as big as, you know, because of you and other people like you. At work, who said, guys, don't forget to go have a pint tonight.
Go and have a pint.
For old St. Patrick, you know?
For the man himself.
Once a year, you know, for St. Patrick. And it's become, as I said, a huge thing. I think it's even, I would go as far as saying, a multi-million-dollar industry now. It just is. That night for the bar industry, the beer industry, cruises. I mean, even, I imagine there's special flights. I don't know if Las Vegas must have... You know, I can just imagine millions of dollars in VIP and limos, which, as we're going to talk about, is very different than it's celebrated or was traditionally celebrated.
Yeah.
Right?
And you know, we have a really, really excellent Irish tourist board, government run. One of my first cousins works in the Irish Department of Foreign Affairs. He was the Irish consul in Chicago, Aidan, and his job is to make the diaspora, the Irish diaspora, work better for Ireland. Because this is what happened in the 60s.
To have ambassadors everywhere, really.
And brought money back into Ireland because these people began to become CEOs. Sure. Well,
they're making money for other economies, sending money back. So it's a win-win. Yeah.
Win-win.
You know, the United States was built by immigrants.
That's right.
Italians included.
That's right.
How many times we've driven past a school and my mom said, your great-grandfather built
there
that. He was a bricklayer. So,
mason or a bricklayer, yeah.
And as you said, they didn't have the English skills or they didn't have education past, not like we do these days, let's put it that way.
Yeah, they were educated to 12 years old and, you know, they could read and write. But,
they knew how to work. They knew how to earn their keep.
Earn their keep.
It's a good expression over there.
And the Irish became cops. That was a big thing.
Oh, that's right.
All those, like, the Untouchables, the film, Sean Connery plays an Irish cop, Malone.
Right.
You know, that was a big, because of course they could speak English.
And also, I happen to know that the Irish were big in not just construction, but set construction in the unions.
Teamsters.
That do the Broadway shows and everything. Yeah. So they're master carpenters.
Yes.
And even some Irish people helped build that famous photograph that's here in my office.
That's right. That's right.
Lunch atop a skyscraper.
Yeah.
So as we said in the beginning here, you can't take Ireland out of anywhere.
No.
Because there's literally a piece of Ireland everywhere. And then there's a piece of everywhere in Ireland.
That's right.
Because people, I imagine you've got every nationality living there. Yeah, you go to Dublin and you'll find French people, German, whatever.
It's changed a great deal because when I grew up, everyone was, you know, Irish, white, you know, Catholic, and now you go and I talk to my nieces and nephews and I ask them, you know, in your class at school, where are the kids from? And they say, well, Egypt and Croatia and Spain, a lot of Spanish people living in Ireland now.
If there's immigration, it's because the economy is doing well.
That's right.
So it's a good sign. It means people are flocking there because there are opportunities.
Right. Yeah.
And living is good. I guess they have their reasons.
Yeah,
you know?
Living is good. Like a lot of Western countries, there's a shortage of housing because so many people are coming in.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
But, you know, I know, of course, you've got Ukrainians coming in, you know, and at Vaughan, we have actually a lot of good Ukrainian people who've come to work for us, you know, really great teachers, highly educated. They speak four languages. They speak perfect English.
And let's do a little Vaughan plug while we're at it.
Of course.
You've been working at Vaughan we're talking about Grupo Vaughan Systems, for how long, Fitz?
19 years.
Tell us what you do at Vaughan. I know you do so much radio, but tell us a little bit about what you do. I would call you kind of the glue, but how would you describe what you do?
Well, my title is Director of Operations, but a bit like Richard and like you, in my heart of hearts, I'm a teacher.
Right.
So the most important thing I do is I recruit good teachers. I have a good team of people who help me.
Mm-hmm.
We train them. We put them to work. And one of the things I like is they come from 60 different countries.
Wow.
Most of them, like you and me, they didn't teach before.
Yes, the United Nations.
The United Nations of Vaughan. The youngest one is 19. The eldest is Dag Henius, who's...
Wow, I know.
I won't say how old he is, but he's a grandfather.
But he doesn't look... looks great. He looks better than I do.
And he joined in February 1988.
Wow.
He's still with us.
It's incredible. And then on the radio, Guy Williams, Dave Boyce. I mean...
Davey Boyce, Kyle.
Incredible.
Kyle and I trained together.
That's crazy. Yeah. I always tell the people who listen to the show with no name, I'm like, if you guys like me, then you're going to love Fitz because he trained me. That's what I always tell them.
That's right.
Like, you know,
and Layla at the same time.
And Layla as well. So, really quickly, somebody who wanted to get more information about Vaughan, of course, you can go to the website, GrupoVaughan.com. What's one of your favorite things? Because we've got so much. We've got Masters. We've got Disney stuff on the weekend for the kids. What do you think is one of the things you're most proud of? And you can't say Vaughan Radio because that's a unique, or Vaughan Town because they're just so unique. They're groundbreaking.
I think the thing that I love it all, but you know,
that's what I mean. Yeah, it's hard to choose.
You see little kids, and they're 4 years old coming in, and they adore their teachers.
Right.
You know,
respect, love admiration,
because the teacher, like, they know those little kids can sense that the teacher adores them, and you know they do a great job. Then the company classes where you and I started off, you know, you're fresh in Madrid, you're getting on the bus, you're going out to the companies, and you meet great people, and we teach them what they teach us. I learned so much from these people.
Sure. You know? Absolutely.
And you're teaching marketing executives, you're teaching finance people, you're teaching CEOs, you're teaching people starting off in their first job.
Sure. No, really, I've seen the company grow so much you know, just since I've been here, I've seen us, you know, take on the TV stuff, which was just incredible. Yeah. You know, I said, wow, we're going to have a TV station now. This is
just crazy.
You know, because when people say, are you an English Academy? I'm like,
that's not the word.
It's hard to put us into a category. Yeah. We're just an magical English Vaughan empire, an English community, an English world.
Yeah.
Call it what you will. Well, either way, guys, if you want more information, we've got stuff from master's programs to Vaughan Towns to the hardcore OTSS, Only the Strong Survive on our residentials.
That's right.
That's OTSS, baby. Not for the faint of heart. And I love the impacts, too. I've done those. I used to love working those because that's just a big, you get a 2-week boost of English and you're refreshed again. You're ready to go.
And the word that I hear all the time that I love the most, you know, I see this in surveys that we do, quality surveys, but you meet someone, you know, maybe they're running a big company and they have, you know, 20 Vaughan teachers there. And I say, hey, how's it going? Are you happy? And they say, encantado. Encantado, tío. Encantado.
That's great.
That puts a smile on my face, you know. They're just delighted with, because, you know, it isn't, you know, the method and style is important, but it's the human quality of the teacher. Something Richard always says.
He said it, he was on the, guys, you can listen to him on the pod say the same exact words.
Yeah, it's true.
He said the method's there and the method's a natural way, because I know it from my daughter. What's this? It isn't. Yes, it is. No, it isn't. What are they? You know, they are. I'm doing the Vaughan method without following the actual book. The normal order of it is brilliant.
Oh, it's genius.
It's genius.
It's genius. It is truly
and then
genius.
You put that in the right vehicle, as Richard said, that teacher, and you will dazzle. You'll get that student dancing. They'll sing the language. They'll sound Irish when they...
They will. And they make progress. And as a teacher, you know, the most rewarding thing is you get someone and they come back to you in a class and they say, you know, I did that presentation the other day and for the first time after 20 years of learning English, I feel good. I feel confident.
That's it. You know? That's what I tell them. I say, okay, are you still going to make mistakes? Yeah, we all are. I get tongue-tied on my radio show 10 times a day.
Yeah.
In my own language, I'm talking about.
Yeah, okay? Me too, all the time.
So it happens to even native speakers. But the key is what Fitz just said there. If you can feel comfortable, okay, you might say, oh, damn it, I just said people is. Damn it. Keep going.
Keep going.
Spit it out. If you're in class, we're not going to let you keep going.
But otherwise, spit it out.
It out. Trust your gut. And the way to do that is obviously listen to Vaughan Radio as much as possible and find out more about all of our options. I know with, as you said, with the kids stuff on the weekends with Disney, Nacho tells me his kids on Tuesday are saying, is it time to go to the Disney thing yet? And he's like, guys, that was like 2 days ago. You know,
so they want to come back.
They're eager. That's magic is what it is. Absolutely. If you guys want more information about what we do, again, you can find us on social media. It's grupovaughan.com is the website. We've got everything, a plethora. And if you're just looking for materials, vaughantienda.com.
Vaughantienda.com. And then, you know, we started some time ago, we teach Russian, German, French, Italian, dude. Yeah. Can I call that Alessandro?
God.
All with the Vaughan style. Portuguese. We've got a great guy called Emerson and a whole lot of teachers who do, you know, other languages too.
Incredible. It's incredible to see how much Vaughan has grown and how much some of us are still here.
Still
you know, here, it's dude. Incredible.
Still here, man.
Incredible. All right. Well, let's get back to Ireland because you can actually get a piece of Ireland. You might get an Irish teacher if you sign up for classes at Vaughan.
Might. You just might.
But we're going to learn how to speak some Irish with Fitz in just a moment. But I wanted to find out a little bit more about these misconceptions because you started saying something about it before, but you're saying, you know, you go out and there's parades, there's drunkenness, there's party till you puke. But that's not that's not how it started, or that's not how you remember celebrating.
Now, the thing is, when I was a kid, I think as a reaction to, you know, Ireland has always had a relationship with alcohol, you know. But in the 20s and 30s, there were great social problems because there was a lot of poverty and there were men who drank the money that was in the house. And one of the good roles of the Catholic Church was they promoted temperance that people didn't drink.
Oh, okay.
And so my parents never drank, neither of them, until I think they were almost 40 years old. And their friends were the same. As a kind of a backlash against
this. Yeah, it wasn't prohibition, but they made it like, you know, it was frowned upon.
And so when I was a kid, there wasn't this crazy partying of St. Patrick's Day like there is now. But I mean, now, man, we like to celebrate. I like to have a few beers. Sure. I like to have more than
who
a few
doesn't?
Beers.
Who doesn't?
You know. So it's there. And, you know, sometimes it does, I suppose there, you know, there can be social problems. But, you know, a night out, a good, fun night out where there are Irish people because, you know, we like to sing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, sometimes we get a bit violent. We like to fight, but, singing, celebrating with our friends. You know, you go into a bar and the place is rocking.
What I like is the Irish, it's like a communal celebration. Oh, so yeah. You can go into an Irish pub and they'll all be singing the same song in unison.
Yeah.
And you don't see that unless it's like a karaoke bar or something like that. And that's something that blew my mind. And you can go in that same bar in Ireland, in Rio de Janeiro.
Oh, yeah. Man, they're all
in
singing.
New York, and you'll get that same experience. But you won't get that same Guinness.
No.
Let's talk about that. Because I thought it was a myth until I tried it, and I know it's not a myth now.
I mean, it's true. As you say, you can get it anywhere in the world. But whether it's psychological or real, but the experts do say, no. It's the best Guinness is in Ireland. And then in Cork, we have another competing brand, two actually, Beamish and Murphy's. I drink Beamish.
I've heard of Beamish and Murphy's, sure, yeah.
And, of course, Guinness. I mean, Guinness is obviously a massive brand.
Well, that would be like Rioja. Like, Rioja is not the number one most drunk wine in Spain.
Yeah.
It's Ribera del Duero.
Yeah.
But Rioja is the one we ship out
there. That's right. That's right. Yeah. And apparently, the black color was an accident.
Oh, are you serious?
Arthur Guinness was making the beer from barley, and he burnt it. And then someone said, hey, we've got something here. This tastes good. Whether it's true or not, you know.
He said, okay, the color's weird. If you can get around the color.
And there you go. Yeah.
I always use when I use a pint of Guinness to teach my students the word robusto, stout. Guinness stout. And it's robusto.
That's right. He's a stout person. And for me, I think the best TV ads of any company, barring none, Coca-Cola, anything, Guinness.
I've seen a few of them.
From the excellent. 70s, 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
Brilliant advertising.
It's true. I'm going to share some of them on Patreon, guys, because really I remember seeing some Guinness commercials and just being like blown away.
Yeah. My favorite one, if we have
sure,
time.
Sure, sure. Yeah, please.
It's so off the west coast of Ireland, the coast I mentioned, off the coast of Conegal, where you have the Aran Islands.
Oh.
Very iconic in Ireland because they're Gaelic speaking. They're small, but they're very important in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see, you know, these guys in a traditional pub. It's a thatched cottage pub.
Oh, wow.
The only sound in the pub, there's total silence. There's an old clock on the wall, so you hear gluck, gluck. And then it cuts to these guys in a curragh, which was a small black fishing boat.
Okay.
They're rowing, and they're going across the Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get the sense, okay, so these guys are, you know, and then you see in the boat, there's a keg of Guinness.
Oh, wow.
And so the guys in the pub are waiting patiently. One of them is at the door, and this goes on and on. And then eventually, you see one of them, you know, he straightens up and he says, Toshilig chocht, which means they're coming in Gaelic. Toshilig chocht.
Okay.
And then the next thing you see, the keg comes in and they're celebrating and there's music, you know, but it builds the tension.
Sure, sure.
And of course, using the Irish landscape is spectacular.
Yeah. I saw one with a threesome that comes to mind, and it was a woman's back.
Yeah.
And there was a pint of Guinness on it. And then you see a guy who's going from behind. I won't say what he's doing.
Right.
You know, I don't want to get into any trouble here. And so he grabs a pint of Guinness and puts it back on her back, and it's rocking. And then you see another arm come out from the front and grab the Guinness and put it down. And so
they're enjoying themselves. Yeah.
And I said, "Wow!" I go, "That."
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that. So they've got those twists.
Oh yeah, classic, like outstanding advertising. Yeah.
Great, great. And Guinness, I guess that's a must, right? You got to do the Guinness tour, or is that a touristy thing?
No, it's a touristy thing. I haven't done it myself, but even I've met Irish people who said it's worth it.
Okay.
So the brewery, the biggest brewery in, it's very close to the center of Dublin, called St. James's Gate.
Oh, yes.
And there's a tower in there, and you get a free, not a pint of Guinness, you get a free half pint of Guinness.
Okay.
But they do say that the tour is very, very good. It's worth doing it.
Yeah, I've heard
sometimes those touristy things are very good.
Well, that's what I mean, especially, you know when I do all the touristy things, now when I go to New York, I do them. Because when I lived there, I was too busy working.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now I go there, I'm like, let's go to the Empire State Building. Yeah. I would have never said that in a million years.
Yeah. It's great fun. Yeah.
No doubt about it. All right. And while we're on that, so the Guinness Brewery, any other top tips, places we got to see or places we should avoid?
I mean, I would say the small city of Galway in the west, my own city of Cork in the south, County Kerry.
Mm-hmm. I've heard about County Kerry.
I mean, I think it's the most beautiful place I've ever seen,
Wow.
And we have a sporting rivalry with them, in football, in our Gaelic football.
Oh, gotcha.
But they're great people.
Sure.
They're maybe the best Irish business people. You ask a Kerryman, you say, They're a bit like Gallegos in a certain sense. You know, what's your name? What's your name?
They answer a question with a question.
Oh. What time is it? Why do you want to know? You know, that kind of stuff. Great people. Yeah.
Cool. Great. All right. Well, I want to know how to communicate with these people next time, because I'm planning that trip and I'm going to get out. I'm going to go further than the airport this time.
All right.
My wife and I, we're going to do a tour with my daughter as well. So give us some vocab we'll need to get by. I know you guys love saying the word crack. And at first I thought you were referring to drugs and then I realized weren't.
So crack is a Gaelic or an Irish word, and it typically meaning fun. Okay. But we use it for all kinds of things. You know, you see two Irish guys and they, you know, how's the crack? Mm-hmm. Oh, good, good. Any crack last night? Any fun?
Right,
you know?
Right. I heard, good crack last night.
Good crack.
Good
great
time.
Crack.
Good, yeah, sure.
That guy is great crack, or he's no crack, meaning he's either very funny or not funny at all.
Nothing. I didn't hear I've never heard the no crack.
Yeah,
one.
What's your mind like? Oh, he's no crack.
So crack has got a lot of meaning. It's spelled C-R-A-I-C.
That's right. That's right.
Another one we said in the intro, sláinte.
Sláinte, when you have a drink.
If you have not had, a drink with an Irish person, if you've not heard sláinte yet.
Yeah. And then you have, you know, unfortunately, because it's a big part of our identity, it's not well taught at school. Okay. A lot of Irish people actually can't speak it.
Oh, gotcha.
But, you know, you have, it's not an easy language grammatically. Forget the spelling, it's worse than English.
Oh, like Siobhan Sioban?
Yeah, Sioban.
You're what?
Yeah. You have, the old style greeting was Diaguit, which means God be with you.
Diaguit. Diaguit, God be with you.
But you can say, Conasatatu. Conasatatu.
Conasatatu.
Very good, which means how are you?
Conasatatu. You know what? Because that little thing will make the difference if you're getting maybe a free shot or something before you go, you know?
Whiskey, mm-hmm. which of course is, we invented it, not the Scots.
Yeah,
by the
Scots.
Way.
Forget about it. Take your bagpipes.
Yeah. So whiskey comes from the Irish words ishka baha.
Okay.
Ishka is water, baha is life.
Okay.
So then ishka baha, whiskey, ishka baha, whiskey, whiskey, whiskey.
So, the water of life.
The water of life.
Yeah. And what makes Irish whiskey the best whiskey?
Now, for
me,
obviously. For me, I think, you know, Scotch is, you know, you have many fine Scotch whiskeys, but that taste for me is just, the taste is too strong.
Gotcha. Yeah, that
the
oak.
The peaty,
wood.
That for me is too much.
Right.
You have great Irish whiskies. You have the very normal ones.
Sure. Run-of-the-mill sort of.
Run-of-the-mill. And then you have great ones that aren't going to cost you too much money. There's one I recommend to people. It's called Redbreast.
Ooh, I was going to ask you.
That's a beauty. That is a beautiful whiskey.
Redbreast, guys. An Irish whiskey. Wait, it's not too late. You can go out and get a bottle before the celebrations start tonight. And anything else that I'm leaving out? Any other sayings? Like maybe a hello or a goodbye?
Sloan.
Slán.
So sláinte is what you say, cheers.
Health or cheers.
And then sláinte is goodbye.
Sláinte. All right. So we're going to say that at the end of the episode. Sláinte. And we've got a lot of celebrating to do here. And before we go, give us a song that we should listen to get us in the mood for this awesome celebration. It could be the Pogues or maybe even an old school one that maybe we might not be familiar with.
The Pogues had that great mix of like punk rock and rock and jazz and traditional Irish music.
I love the Pogues. Huge fan of the Pogues.
And then you've that great song, which is an old Irish song, which was also a great rock song by Thin Lizzy. Mm-hmm. Maybe the first great Irish rock band, which is Whiskey in the Jar.
Ooh, great song.
Which Metallica also did a good version.
I was just going to say. Well, guys, you've got some music to get you in the mood. You got a whiskey recommendation. And you've got some recommendations for your next trip to Ireland. Fitz, what can I say? It's been awesome. Thank you so much for stopping by and celebrating with us.
To fall to rot. You're welcome.
To fall to rot. And how was goodbye again?
Sláinte.
Sláinte, my amigos. We'll see you next time on the next episode of FYI.